I sure am grateful he came to me and saved my soul. Could you ever left me out there and got five of my friends? We're all crazy. Why did he, you know? But I sure am glad he got to me. I ought to be in hell. That's just the fact of it. But look here. Some of my old buddies would laugh if they saw me right now and shake their head. But I sure am glad. But God. He ain't stopped with a home and he ain't stopped with a church. He's building a mansion. And that's what I want to look at tonight. Psalms 127. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost. Thank you for that paraclete, that comforter that's alongside of us. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us. Lord, only you can provide what we need. Hide me, Lord God, behind the cross, and I pray you'd speak only through my lips. Help this people. Help me. Lord, we all need to hear from you. And I love you. And I give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. Psalms 127, verse number 1. The Bible says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want to look now at somewhere where you probably think I'm going to preach out of, but I ain't preaching out of there. We're going to read it though. John 14. I'm not going to take my text out of there, but I want to read it to you anyway. John 14 and verse number 1. Many of you know it, probably can quote it. John 14, verse number 1. The Bible says this, as he was with his disciples in this upper room and he was speaking to them, and he was about to go to Calvary the next day. Here's what he told them. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. We shall see Jesus. Yes. We ought to all set our Bibles down and take five laps around the city of Bowden, shouting like wild Indians. Unto myself, that where I am. It's thick up here. There you may be also. I may have to let Amy preach this. She could do a better job than I could anyway. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. I'm getting this hot thing off. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. Is where I want to take our text from. If you have trouble finding 2 Corinthians, find 1 Corinthians and it'll be right past it. Ain't that right? That's about all the help I can give you. All right, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says this, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tabernacle, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Parentheses, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. I want to preach on this little passage here tonight on what some of us saw today. We saw Brother Tommy's mother was right down here in front of this podium a few hours ago. She passed a few days ago. And you know what? We look at that, and it's one of the saddest things that anybody will ever face is when we have to roll someone that we love down these aisles and say bye to them. But I want us to look at this few verses here and just sort of dissect it and look at it in detail and see what's really going on and what's really happening, okay? I'm glad God's got us a mansion. I'm glad God's got us a place to go to. But let's think just for a minute. Just give me a little bit of your attention just for a little bit. And let's look into this and see what in the world God's doing. Because oftentimes I feel, and the preacher and some of the other preachers have preached a lot of these funerals, and we've seen some different reactions on different people's lives, how they take stuff like that. Brother Ken, I've been in funerals to where I've shouted. I mean, I'm serious as a bee. I remember Miss Dorothy. You remember Miss Dorothy Brown? Honey, it got on in her funeral. Right here. I mean, I'm talking about we didn't just have church, we had Holy Ghost church. But then again, I have preached and Leonard Skinner followed me. Yes, sir. I've done it all. I've done them young as far as babies, and I've done them 90-year-old. But it's something that we're all going to do one day. And I want to look at, first of all, notice this first phrase he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. First of all, we see a passing. A passing. This earthly house here, notice this tabernacle has dissolved. It's referred to as a tabernacle. What does that tabernacle word mean? It's used a lot in the Old Testament. It simply means this. It means tent. Any of y'all got a little pop-up tent that you used to set up and go out and camp out every once in a while? Well, some folks tries to make a house out of that, but you know, really and truly, that tent there, it's made for a temporary stay. But then he goes on and he talks about a heavenly house. And the difference in those, we have a tabernacle, which is temporary. What you're looking at tonight, this is never was meant to be permanent. Never was meant to be. But we have a heavenly place that is our permanent dwelling. So the reality of this passing is that we must all shed this old body. We must all shed this old body. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So I used the illustration in Gerald's funeral. I brought some Lindor chocolates right here. And I look at this right here, and it's got a pretty wrapper. Somebody, my daughter just graduated marketing, and you know, somebody thought real hard on how to make this wrapper look good and real pretty and attractive and all. And they got it pink, and I'm sure with ladies liking chocolate, you know, pink appeals to, like, they see that and they say, I know what that is. Some of y'all's ladies' mouths watering, ain't you? Well, I'll give you. All right. But you know what? If I was to take this chocolate, since you're hungry, I'll give it to you. Well, eat it anyway. Oh, here, eat the wrapper. All right, what are we going to do with this wrapper now? Oh, no, we won't keep this. It's a pretty. Let me see y'all. How many of y'all eat the Reese's Cup? And keep that ugly orange wrapper and say, Brother Shane, won't you just see what I got? Ain't that so pretty? You get my point. This ain't nothing but a wrapper. You hear? I want you to understand what I'm saying. Who I am is not who you see. Who you are is not who you see in the mirror. I don't want that. You want it? So, what really matters is what's on the inside. What's on the inside? It's what's saved. Miss Betty, listen, that's not her. Miss Amy's lost some love with her mother. All this graveyard up here, we respect it all, and it's, you know, it's hallowed ground. One day those graves is going to bust open. But let me tell you something. That's not Mama. That's not Daddy. That's not Granddaddy. That's not who that is. Not who that is. There's a soul inside of us that when it's appointed unto man wants to die. What's dying? This mess right here that gives you fits every day, that hurts every day, that sins every day. This junk's dying. And that soul's gonna rapture out of that body and go to be with the Lord. This body's going back to the dirt. One day, the body's going to be raptured, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, and we're going to rejoin that soul. But it's going to be a different state. So we see the reality of the passing. We all going to do it. You going to do it. You can look yourself in the mirror. You can look in the mirror and say, one day, if the devil gives you a bad day tomorrow, and he tears you up and spits you out. I mean, you can tell him, enjoy your time. Because one day, this junk's going to the flat, going to the dirt. And then you out of luck, Buck. So the reality of it, but also this passing, it is a requirement. It's required. How many of y'all wants to go to heaven in this mess? Ain't nobody wants to. I don't want to take this junk to heaven. I'd stain the streets of gold. I'm so ugly and nasty. And I'm telling you the truth. Some of y'all are pretty. I know you're pretty, and your mama always patted you on the head and told you you're beautiful. But, honey, let me tell you something. You ain't pretty as you think you are. I'm getting a new body. It's required that this vile body, as Paul said, it's required that this vile body is put back where it come from. Amen? And I get a new body, a glorified body like he is. It's a requirement. It's a reality of it. But also, I want to throw a curveball at you. It should be rejoicing. Should be a rejoicing time. Lily graduated the other day from Jacksonville with a degree, and I sat up there in them stands and I looked at her, Brother Shane, and all the memories from baby all the way to here she is, 22, close to it, pretty close. And a tear come in my eyes. Was I sad? No. I was rejoicing. I was happy. I was sad because she ain't my baby girl no more. She's still my baby girl, but she ain't, you know what I'm saying. Y'all old folks got kids, you know what I'm saying. And you know what? She graduated. And it's rejoicing. When a saint of God passes, honey, it really, now listen to me, we're going to miss them. We all got, everybody has got somebody that they miss in this building. But when a saint of God is, when this body gives way to death, and that soul is taken out of that body, that's not a bad thing. Yes, it happens at many different ages. I mean, from 1 year old all the way to 100 years old. Many different ages. It's God's selection. It's God's choice on when we go. And ain't nothing you're going to do about it. So when that happens, though, if that person is a child of God and saved, it is a graduation. As Paul said, I've finished my course. Finished. But here's where we're at today. Don't get caught up in this. I've been caught up in it. Probably everybody in the building. We get caught up in all of what we have around us. We get caught up in all of this when everything should be about that. Not this. It's all about heaven. I may not even be here tomorrow. It's the truth. And I hope y'all throw a party. I'm not being funny. I'm serious. Honey, I'm done. I am D-O-N-E done. I'm in glory. We see the passing. But also in this first verse, we also see a place. We also see a place. Look at the end of the verse. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. An house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So this tabernacle dissolves. Well, are we just going to float around on clouds and eat grapes? No. We've got a house. Building not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. So we see a place. First of all, I notice that it is our possession. Do you see that? You see what I read first there? It said, we have. Now I want to ask you a question. I don't know your degrees. I don't know your pedigree. I don't know where you come from, who you are. I don't know your special, how special your last name may be. But who are you? And who am I to own property in heaven? You think about that now. Really think about who's in this building right now. Some of y'all may be bad to the bone, but I don't think so. Some of y'all may be Trump's and kin folks. But who are you that you literally own? We have. That is a possession. A house. We have a home. So I have property. I have a place in God's kingdom. I have a place there. What an amazing thought. You may not own nothing here. There's many a people that's went to a grave and didn't have a dollar to their name. There's a many people that died starving, but woke up richer than the rich. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't it a blessing? All this junk that we think we're wealthy with down here, ain't no, it ain't none of it. Listen, Chuck, Charlie, they ain't never dug, you ain't never dug a grave for a wagon load of gold, have you, or nothing like that. If you have, let me know where it is, and I want to go dig it up. You ain't taking it with you. So, our possession, but also, I noticed something else about this place. It's a perfect place. Not only is it a possessed place, but it's a perfect place. Notice with me now. We have a building of God. It's a house not made with hands. Everything we got down here, it'll tear up, wear out, fall apart, or all of the above. Everything. Even, I mean, anything from bodies to this church house. Me and Brother Ken and Daddy was talking about some of these pews here that's needing recovering. Some of them's needing fixing back on the bare backside. I mean, everything just it's junk. But I've got a house in the heavens. A building of God, not made with hands. Not only is it our possession, not only is it perfect, but it's also perpetual. It's also perpetual. Notice the last of the verse there. Eternal in the heavens. It's never ending. There's no end to it. Isn't there an end to a lot of things down here? There's ends to relationships. There's ends to everything you can think of. End of life. Anything you think of. Everything is temporary down here. Everything's temporary. Jobs are temporary. Whatever you can think about. It's temporary. We live in a temporary world. Tabernacle. We're only tented here. We're going to a perpetual place. We're going to a place to where END does not exist. Don't exist. Somebody get up there and say, what's the end of that? Somebody say, what's the end? What do you mean end? I'm going to look at you crazy. No end. There's no end. What God sets in motion up there, there'll be no end. It's perpetual. John 10, verse 28, the Bible says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Ain't that something? Ain't that a blessing? Matthew chapter number 6, verse 20, we know that verse. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. We're going to a different place. Different place. Not only we see a passing, we see a place, but verse number 2, we see a passion. We see a passion. Verse number 2. For in this we groan earnestly. In this we groan a passion. First of all, this passion, I see a prison of our passion. Did you know, if you really think about it, the closer you get to the Lord, you'll realize this, that you're literally enslaved, encapsulated, you are in jail in this flesh. I'm telling you. We are. I can't stress enough that this is not me. I'm in jail tonight in this flesh. But He's going to set me free one day. Therefore, that's why we rejoice when that saint of God goes on to what really matters. So we see a prison. This body is holding me. But one day I'm going to get set free. Ain't you glad of that? So we groan in this flesh. We If you're close to God, the closer you get to God, the more that inner man, the more that spirit that's inside of you, that soul that's inside of you, it's going to groan for what it knows is waiting on it. It's going to yearn for it. We sung that song a while ago. I was riding over to Brother Tommy's mother's funeral on the way over here today, and a song come on the radio, and I sit there and I squalled and thought about heaven. Is that me? Is that this flesh? No. Oh, that inner man, no. I'm just driving with this left arm here, going down the road there, and all of a sudden that radio come on, they singing about Jesus. And I got to thinking about home. See the difference, the contrast there? This flesh here, as wicked as the day is long, this old flesh wants to do bad stuff. You do too. But that inside says, whoosh, whoosh, straighten up. You ain't going to look like that carrying me around. One day, we'll be freed. The passion of the prison, but also notice that not only the prison of this passion, but the power of this passion. The Bible says this in verse 2. He said, "For in this we groan earnestly." Earnestly. It's not a light thing. It's not a light thing. We get to the point to where we dream about home. And the closer we get to God, boy, the devil is tricky. The devil's wicked. He's tricky. He wants you to get captivated by everything down here. He wants you to get captivated with that job. Boy, he'll give you whatever job you want. He'll let you make $28 an hour. He'll let you make $35 an hour. He'll let you make the $100,000 a year. He'll let you make that. Just get captivated by it. Just get carried away with it and consumed with it. That's all he wants. He wants this flesh to conceal that inner man. He wants this flesh to hide that inner man where he can't shout, where he can't rejoice, where he can't worship, where he can't have a say-so. That's what he wants. One day, I can't stand him. I've been down this road. I know what I'm talking about. I've been all up in it, and I've went after the money, and I've been amazed by, boy, that big paycheck. But guess what, Brother Steve? It's gone now. Some of y'all act like y'all rich. You ain't rich. April 15th hits y'all too. What matters is what the devil's trying to hide. God give you kids. Listen to me. God give you children. The devil's a stinking, low-down scoundrel, belly-crawling, that he'll take your own kids and use them against you. That's the truth. Do you see what he's doing in America today? I wish the world could hear it. You see what the devil's doing today in America? He's taking God's gift. Children are an heritage of the Lord. He's taking God's children, he's taking them and saying, well, your kids ain't going to be happy unless they got this and unless they get to go here and unless they get to play ball 13 months out of the year, unless they get to do all this. They're not going to be happy and he'll make you feel bad and he'll make you feel guilty and he'll make you feel away. And then next thing you know, you've got your kids wore out. Am I right about it or anybody? I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you tonight. I done been through all this. I know what I'm talking about. When what really matters. You know what for Lily and Chloe, what my greatest joy is, Brother Ken? What my greatest joy
It's not that Lily's got that piece of paper and Chloe's got that piece of paper and they, you know, both seems like God's blessing them. That's not my greatest joy. The greatest joy that I've ever had was when they got saved. I'm telling you the facts. If I have to eat end pieces of sunbeam bread and give them to sinner, and ain't got nothing to put between them two end pieces, and they go to heaven, hallelujah to God. Glory to His sweet holy name. We'll make it through this down here, and we'll meet over there. Boy, I'm trying not to preach. The devil is wicked. He's tricky. Don't fall for his stinking traps. He wants to ruin you. He wants to take all the emphasis off of what's down, off of what's eternal, and put it all on this down here. Prison of our passion, the power of our passion, but the purpose of our passion. The Bible says there, desiring to be clothed upon. Desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If you study this Bible enough, if you've been in this long, Brother Jake, and, you know, my daddy, and some of y'all, that's a little old. Y'all know, as you've studied this Bible a long time, you know, you hear what I'm saying, there's a better day coming. You know it. You know it. And you groan in this flesh looking for that eternal home, looking and knowing that one day, as the song says, I'll drop this flesh and rise to seize my everlasting prize. We see a passion. We see a place. We see a passing. But notice the path. Notice the path. Verse number 7, in parentheses, it says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You got that? Hang in there with me just a little longer. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, most folks has got that by sight. Most folks walk by sight and not by faith. You see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense to you? Can I say, oh me? A lot of times I don't see it. I'm telling you, I'm weak as dishwater, dirty dishwater, spaghetti dishwater. I don't, you know what? I'm telling you, I'm weak. Sometimes I walk by sight and not by faith. What can I see? Well, I can't see heaven. Can I give you a little announcement tonight? I don't know one thing about what I'm preaching about. I can tell you what that book says, all I can tell you. I honest to goodness, have not got a clue about what I'm preaching about. But I do know what that word says. Therefore, I'm preaching by faith. I ain't telling you what I've seen. You may like it and all this stuff. These folks say they died 30 minutes, went to heaven, looked around, shook Simon Peter's hand at the pearly gates, come back, got in the body, got up, slapped the doctor, went home to eat chili and all the but. I don't tell that to somebody else. I ain't never seen it, but I know what that Bible says. Yes. Walk by faith. There's a path. He's given us a path. He's told us how to assume all these things that I'm preaching about. He's told us how to get these things. Not by sight. Not by looking at what all we got down here. Not by looking at what all we achieve down here. It ain't, that don't matter in heaven. You think Jesus nudges the Father? Says, hey, did you see that promotion David got today? He did pretty good. Southwire used to when he worked there. Do you see what David done there? That ain't what he... No. That ain't happening in heaven. But I tell you what is happening. There's an embattlement of angels about this building as we speak. With swords drawn and demons all around that would love to destroy this place. God the Father's dispatched His angels to protect us, I believe. I'll tell you what does happen. When a man preaches, when a man sings, when they were singing a while ago about we shall see Jesus, the Holy Ghost comes down. You're talking about Him. Did you feel Him pat you on the back a little bit a while ago? Woo! Ain't nothing like it. That's what does happen. It's a path of provision. It's a path of protection. It's a path of persuasion. If you'll just trust Him, He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. And if you'll trust Him and walk this path of faith, it'll persuade others. I've heard so many times before, I've heard people say, I want what they got. You ever heard somebody say that? Maybe once or twice. You know, I want what they got. I've heard people say, I just saw something different in them. You ever heard that in a testimony service? I just saw something different in that person, and I wanted it. You know what they were doing? They're walking by faith, not by sight. And somebody saw it, and they said, that's different. That's real. That's genuine. I want some of it. Lastly, we see a promise. We see a promise. Verse number 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. It's a sovereign promise. It's a sovereign promise. It's a promise from God the Father. From God the Father Himself, all this that we read and all this we preaching tonight, God has promised us that this tabernacle one day is going to dissolve and we've got something far better. We got a home in glory that outshines the sun. Not only is it a sovereign promise, but it's also a promise of the Spirit. Notice with me verse number 5 there again. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the capital S Spirit. So how am I going to walk by faith and not by sight? By that Spirit. Capital S Spirit, not my spirit, but His Spirit. He said, I know it's going to be difficult. I know it's going to be tough. And Jesus, when He was announcing to His disciples, I'm fixing to go to the cross and I'm going to die and they're going to bury me. They're going to beat me and they're going to crucify me. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will send another. That's Him. Given us the earnest of the Spirit to help you and I walk this life. Just this little passing. In a minute, I'm going to go out there and get in that car, and I'm going from Liberty Baptist Church to the house over there. I'm not going to drive that through eternity. I'm going to get in it just for a little bit, and I'm going over there. Now I'm getting out of the thing. I got in this body in 1972, one of these days, I'm getting out of it. I've got to my destination. And how many of y'all, when you get home, you're just going to sit out in your car? I'm going in the house. It's a sovereign promise. It's a promise of the Spirit. But lastly, it's a promise of being with our Savior. Watch your Bible. Verse number 8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be, what's that word? Present with the Lord. We shall see Jesus. Whew. We're going to see Him. We're going soon. We're going soon. I can feel it. The Holy Ghost is jumping up and down inside me. I'm going to see Him. Let me say something else. If you don't like church down here, Brother Ken said something about it in the meeting today. If you don't like church down here, you better not go to heaven. You do know that's what we're going to do. We're going to church. Listen, I heard them say there's golf courses up there, and you know we're going to go fly fishing, this, that, and other. Nah, we may do it. I ain't never seen the place. I tell you that. But I will tell you one thing we're going to do, because it's in here. We're going to gather around a specific throne, around a specific person. Whew. 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. John did his best. Honey, let me tell you something. You can't fathom all this in this finite mind. There ain't no way you can describe it. You just can't. I've tried. We're going to gather around that throne, Brother David. I may be way back in the back corner. I'm telling you, it's getting thick in here. The Bible says that there was a rainbow round about that throne, inside like a noon emerald. Imagine, Brother Tim, a mass huge choir. That's what it's going to be, period. That's what it's going to be. And guess who the choir director is going to be? The Holy Ghost. The seven spirits of God is mentioned in Revelation 5. That's the complete Spirit of God. He who letteth will be taken out of the way. Who is that? That's the Holy Ghost of God. Honey, He's right here in the midst of me. If you're saved, He's in you. But when the rapture takes place, He's going out with us. This world's not going to have no Holy Ghost. It's going to be complete in heaven. And there's going to be a choir gathered around that throne. And they're going to sing, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to be praised. For Thou hast redeemed us out of every tongue and every kindred and every nation. Thou art worthy is what He's going to say. Woo! What a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face. The one that saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand. And leads me through that promised land. What a day. Glorious day that'll be. Woo! I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you. Makes all this hair on my head, Brother Steve, stand up. What a name. We're going there. Oh, I can't quit. Some of you ought to get in on this. You know why they're down there practicing ball? Because they want to be good. Some of y'all need to practice. Brother Tim called choir practice on Sunday morning. Why? Because they want to be good. Somebody do this right here. Y'all wave it towards glory. See there? You just got a little practice in. Throw the other hand up. Wave it towards him. Say hallelujah. Say glory to your name. We're going home one day. We're going home. Home one day. He's got a home prepared for us. I sure am glad. Oh, I'm glad he saved an old sinner like me. Oh, bless his holy name. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, ain't he good? Ain't he good to us? He sure is. One of y'all going to pull me up and up here. One day, you may beat me there. I may beat you there. Oh, but we're going home one day. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward. I can't help it. If you ain't looking forward to it, you may want to check up a little bit. I'm just telling you like it is. You better make sure there's something in the wrapper. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah to God. Glory to his name. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved.
Vacation. Nobody gets excited about the ones that's going. You can show all the pictures you want, but if you're not going, you don't get excited. But I've seen a picture of the place I'm going. I'm real excited about it. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Good preaching, Brother James. This is a jailhouse. Boy, I tell you, it loves to keep the Spirit of God locked up. I'm glad one day he's going to set us free. Now, I don't know what some folks are going to do when we get to heaven. A little shouting tires their nerves up. Honey, we're going to praise him while the ages roll on. Good preaching, Brother Jamie. Appreciate the series. All right. It's good to be in the house of God tonight.